Welcome to the Story Engine Podcast, where we teach you how to make marketing easier, more powerful, and fun through storytelling. I'm your host, Kyle Gray. Each week, we learn from top entrepreneurs, influencers, and world changers on how to share your story through content, copywriting, and speaking, and how to make your message your most powerful marketing tool. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Story Engine Podcast. My name is Kyle Gray, and today we are talking about 8 nonverbal communication strategies. This is something a lot of my clients ask about and potential clients want to know about. Can you help me with my body language and how I deliver my ideas, not just writing out the stories? And so I've put together a few really simple tactics and strategies that you can start using to improve your communication. Now, I'm going to be referring to speaking on stage for a lot of this podcast, but these techniques can be used on video, when you're speaking on Zoom, even oftentimes in conversation. So before we really dive into considering your nonverbal communication, I want to give a little caveat to this. Now, many of the clients that I work with that are interested in this aspect of presentations, and while it's an absolutely essential element of good leadership and persuasion, I recommend first building a solid foundation of stories and teaching content first. No amount of body language is going to make up for a dull story or misaligned teaching that isn't landing for your audience. And I find that once you have your stories and your teaching really dialed in and you understand the purpose behind why you're teaching what you teach and how you're telling these stories, then a lot of what I'm going to share in this episode is going to come more naturally and easy to you. And so oftentimes I find this to be a little bit more of an intermediate area to start exploring and where the beginning is really mastering your story. And so just take all of this with a grain of salt and remember where everything fits together. So tip strategy number one, probably the most important one of them all, don't look back at your slides. Often speakers I work with rely heavily on their slides for speaking and talking notes and guiding them through their presentation. And it really diminishes the engagement and the credibility when they speak. And it's so unfortunately common, especially when with highly experienced or intellectual experts, that it's so common they hardly recognize that it's a fault or a problem. But it is. And if you're looking away from your audience, this is going to create a gap between you and them. And not only are you creating a gap between you and your listeners, but you are looking towards the slides and communicating a lot of value towards the slides. And why do we even need you to show up and present if you're just going to look and read off the slides for the whole presentation anyway? Because we can do that on our own. And we will do that on our own. It makes you predictable. And if we know that you're just reading out off the slides through this whole presentation, most people can read faster than you can speak. And so often they'll end up reading ahead on the slides and then having a little bit of extra time to disengage and check their phone, which is contagious. As soon as one person starts checking their phone, other people are going to start seeing that. I'm not sure why this is such a common issue. I think maybe there's some residue from our education, whether in growing up elementary, middle school, high school, college, where most of the teachers were looking to their slides as visual aids as they taught. And we kind of see presentations in the same way that we would see a teacher lecturing us. But I would say it's slightly more acceptable in the teaching area, but still a bad habit, even for them. And when it comes to being on the stage or being on a summit, this is a sign of an ill-prepared speaker. What I see or what I assume is that this person is most likely staying up most of the night before, desperately cramming their slides together so that they need their slides to make it through the presentation because they're entirely unrehearsed. Or they're so accustomed to using their slides as a crutch in this way. But beware the day when some kind of technical issue prevents access to your slides, because even a speech that somebody has given dozens of times is hard to remember and recall if you've been relying on your slides the whole time. There's more we could say about slide design, but I'll save it for another podcast, except for the fact that I would recommend designing your slides to support your audience and their experience, which means big images, not much text, and graphics and visuals to enhance what you're saying. And if you're just reading off the slides to guide you, then you're doing a disservice to your listeners. So once you've stopped looking at your slides, you've just freed up a tremendous amount of energy and influence. And what do we do with that? Well, that's most of the next 7 points. The first one is eye contact. So strategy number two is about eye contact. We want to make eye contact as much as possible with the audience. Engaging and persuasive speakers will continuously look in the eyes of their audience, which helps the audience feel seen and understood that the speaker is really connecting with them personally. Now, I would recommend not scanning and moving around quickly or looking over the tops of their heads. I feel like both of these are mostly rookie strategies to manage anxiety. And so you want to be making much better and deeper contact with individuals. Now, don't just focus on one person, but try to make eye contact for one person per each idea you're sharing. So for example, you might be giving an example on one of your teaching points, and the example is one idea. And so you pick somebody to focus on while giving the example, make eye contact with them throughout it, and then once the idea is done, you can move on to another person and start your next idea. Sometimes you can continuously look for different people and continuously make different eye contact throughout your presentation. And sometimes you might pick just two or three people, maybe one on the far left, one in the middle, one on the far right, that you can continuously return to and engage with. And you can use these people as an anchor. The ones who are really good appear to be very engaged and interested, and they're nodding along with you. And you're going to feed off of that energy and engagement, and the whole audience will benefit. All right, on to strategy number three, smile. So often we are caught up in nerves or the idea of a presentation that we forget to smile and have a face that's either neutral or intense. Now, we want to be charismatic and engaging from the stage, and one of the best ways to do that is to keep a smile going. And this pairs really well with the eye contact I just mentioned before. But practicing a subtle smile while you speak may not come naturally at first, and it may feel like you're overdoing it or erring on the side of smiling too much and looking strange. But this is actually a good place to aim for in practice. You'll see in other areas of stage performers, like dancers, for example, they'll often get very prominent makeup and they'll wear huge smiles to overdo it for the whole audience so everybody can see and feel the smile, even in the back. And overdoing this expression on stage, on video, and especially early on if it's not something you're used to, is a good place to be. We want to enhance and strengthen those muscles and make this simple smile something that becomes very natural to you. You don't need to constantly be smiling when you speak, but take advantage of when you pause between sentences or to crack a smile while you're making eye contact. Which brings me to tip number four, use pauses. Now, this may not feel like a nonverbal thing, but we're not making any noise. We are just pausing between words. So this counts as nonverbal communication to me. And strategic pausing throughout your presenting is essential to allow the audience to both internalize the ideas you're expressing and process the feelings and emotions along with their ideas. Now, too often I see speakers with stories and presentations that are overcrammed with content and ideas, so they feel the need to rush through as much information as possible, which means they give very little time for pauses. But in most cases, half the information delivered strategically and with pauses could have twice the effect that you're looking for. And pauses are best right after completing a big idea or sharing something with an intense emotional charge. A great pro tip is to combine the pause with eye contact and a nod for the best effect. Pause and give a nod at the end of an idea, and this is a contagious thing. You'll notice that your audience will start to nod along with you, which will help them connect with your ideas more, and you're going to receive the benefit of confidence and momentum boost by seeing an engaged audience nodding along and agreeing with you. Tip number 5, mind your tone and your rhythm. It's common for speakers to have a bit of a monotone voice when speaking. It's not always a slow, low tone. Sometimes they can start sharing a challenging story and then lock in on this intense or slightly pained voice and then continuously be talking in this kind of voice, especially when we're sharing a story that has a little bit of vulnerability or openness to it, because we're locked in this feeling. But we want to be able to modulate and move freely and have our voice have a musical quality and contrast to it. So we want your voice and your tone to rise and fall with the emotions and ideas of your story and teaching. Raise your voice to express happiness or excitement or pain or fear, or slow it down to really have the points land. And just like when smiling, when you're starting out with this, leaning on the side of overdoing it when you practice is very, very powerful. So the pace of your speech should also rise and fall. Speaking at one speed will have people start tuning out. And so slow down when you're exploring complex ideas, emotional moments in stories, or when teaching technical vocabulary. And speed up when there's a high energy moment, something exciting, something fun. But be careful not to talk too fast for too long, because that's one of the surest ways to lose your audience. Hey friends, I wanted to take a quick break from the podcast to share something really exciting with you. You see, over the last few years, I've helped hundreds of entrepreneurs, coaches, and thought leaders just like you create powerful and high-converting presentations that allows them to enroll their customers and grow their business with their story. I've worked with many brilliant thought leaders and well-known names, and I've worked with many aspiring thought leaders who are just getting started. And I have found that there are 5 key and common mistakes that most people are making when creating presentations that are killing their sales. These mistakes are often counterintuitive, and so sometimes I need to employ some brutal honesty in order to get it through to my clients how important it is to correct these mistakes. I've gotten these mistakes written down in a guide that I use with all of my clients, and I want to share this same guide with you so you can avoid these costly and painful mistakes in your next presentation and start to see a boost in your sales as soon as you start to correct them. If you'd like this list, go to thestoryengine.co/honest. That's thestoryengine.co/honest, and I would love to know what you think and what you're working on. All right, let's get back to the show. Strategy number 6, mind your posture. Mastering and understanding your posture is one of the most essential elements of looking confident and engaging when speaking, and Lord, it is more important than ever in the age of Zoom fatigue. We've all been stuck in front of screens for so long, and people are always slouching, hunched over, and I see this on live stages too. But your bad posture is impacting you in a lot of ways that you may not recognize. When your posture is bad, you breathe poorly as well, which is going to lower your energy. You're going to feel less confident, more anxiety. And yeah, it's as simple as that. Actually, how you hold your posture can really impact how you feel. And your audience is going to feed off of however you are feeling. So you want to make sure that you are in the best place possible. And changing your posture is one of the easiest and most effective ways to keep yourself in the right state. The good news is that by upgrading your posture, you can actually upgrade how you feel inside as well. Opening up your shoulders, raising them back, standing up straight, and keeping an open posture can not only make you more compelling to your listeners, but it will help you feel more energetic and confident on the stage. Also, I recommend assuming an open posture while you are on the stage. This means no hands behind your back or crossed in front of you, or even just one hand crossed in front of you, or your hands in your pockets. By having an open posture with your arms at your sides, palms facing open towards the audience, and using your hands with gestures, which we'll talk about later, you will create a much better effect with your posture. Best of all, your posture can help you even before you get onto stage. Say you are feeling some anxiety before you go on or you hop onto Zoom. You can open up your shoulders, put your hands above your head like you just won a gold medal at the Olympics, and just hold this position for a while. And your physiology is going to see this or experience this and feel this, and you're going to start to feel the benefits of it right away. You'll start to feel more confident, and you'll be able to take the stage with more energy and clarity. All right. Number 7, move with purpose. How you move on stage or on camera can have a very large impact on how effective your communication is. One of the basic rules of thumb I'd like to leave you with is that when you move, move with purpose. It's okay to move, and it's okay to stand still. But when you are moving, it should serve a purpose, which means no pacing. Walking around back and forth during a presentation like a caged tiger is distracting. People are wondering if you just really have to go to the bathroom or there might be something else going on. We don't want that. And your movement can actually distract from your ideas if it's not in sync with your ideas. So one of the best places to start to move with purpose is by working the room, so to speak. This means you move to one part of the stage, connect with a person with your eye contact while you're sharing your idea, then move to another part of the stage when that idea is complete. This might be that you have somebody on the far left of the audience that you're making eye contact with, somebody in the center of the audience, and then maybe somebody at the right. Maybe you're making eye contact with new people, each idea that you change, or sometimes it's nice to pick out a few people that seem really engaged and just move between them and focus on these several different people while you are presenting. Another great way to move on the stage is to move to illustrate the passage of time. You can move from the left side to the right side, and I would recommend the viewer's left as you are describing an event happening. You're aging or time is passing. Another great way to use movement is to illustrate a conversation between yourself. Maybe you stand to the right as person A and talk as person A, and then step over to the left as person B responding. This can add a lot of dynamics to a presentation and make it feel like a conversation. And finally, number 8. Use emblems and illustrations. These are two ways of using gestures with your hands to enhance your communication. So let's talk about emblems first. These are a type of body language that has a universal meaning with a specific culture. Things like the peace fingers, the Hawaiian shaka, or the ever popular in the United States, middle finger. Now, I don't recommend using that last one when speaking, but you do want to be aware when using emblems when speaking that there are diverse cultures, or if you're speaking internationally, they can have very different meanings. For example, the thumbs up in the West is a widely recognizable thing. We see it on Facebook all of the time. But it turns out in Turkey, that's somewhat of an offensive gesture. And there's lots of little subtleties throughout this through your communication. And so it's okay to use emblems. You just really want to know your audience and their culture and be sure that you don't do something to shoot yourself in the foot, so to speak, when you're on stage with your body language. Now let's talk about illustrators. These are different. They are gestures we use to illuminate the meaning of our words. It's often known or referred to as talking with your hands. It could be moving your hands apart to talk about the growth of something, or maybe waving your hands up and down to show a journey, or moving to emphasize certain words, like a little shaking of the fist, blah, 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 and moving your hand up and down with each thing. So illustrators are interesting because they're mostly subconscious, and we don't usually realize or are aware that we are using them, although we use them quite comfortably. And we even use them when they're not being seen. Like speaking on the telephone to someone, you may still use these illustrative gestures. And in fact, recording the podcast right now, I'm seeing myself using these illustrative gestures, even though you're not going to be able to witness me doing them. And it still helps me feel more connected with the ideas that I'm sharing and I'm teaching, but they do add a lot of dynamics and interest to a presentation when they can be seen. And what is interesting is they can also reflect how you are feeling. So, and impact how you are feeling as well, like we mentioned in the posture section. So if you're feeling good and you have a lot of confidence right now, your illustrators are going to be bigger and more open and more flowing. And if you're stressed, they may become faster, jerkier, or less frequent. And you want to just find a way to be comfortable with your illustrators and practice. And again, this comes by having your stories and your teaching dialed in, so you're not so busy worried about your script or what you're exactly going to say. And once you have that comfort of actually being able to speak and engage with your audience without the help of your slides or whatever, these illustrations will come more naturally to you. So, in conclusion, most of the communication we do is nonverbal, meaning we say much more with our bodies and our movement than we do with our words. And this is also the case when presenting. And so taking the time to practice and master a few of these techniques can make you a much stronger presenter. And best of all, a lot of these techniques will reinforce and enhance each other, so you can see compounding results as you practice. But like I said before, make sure you have your stories and your teaching straight and build this on a solid foundation before you start worrying too much about your body language and how you will start to be moving. And this will get you a very long way. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And let me know if you have any questions, if there are any other nonverbal communication techniques that I missed. And thank you so much. We will see you next time on the Story Engine Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Story Engine Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes and resources mentioned on this episode and every other episode at thestoryengine.co. If you're looking to learn more about how to use storytelling to grow your business, then check out my new book, Selling with Story: How to Use Storytelling to Become an Authority, Boost Sales, and Win the Hearts and Minds of Your Audience. This book will equip you with actionable strategies and templates to help you share your unique value and build trust in presentations, sales, and conversations both online and offline. Learn more at sellingwithstory.co. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.